sermon stands on its own, although it fits together in an awesome way. I'll quickly do a recap of last week. Let me just quickly pray for the Father. As I bring your word forward, I pray that I will be removed, Lord, totally out of your way, and that you will speak to your people. I pray, Lord, that in this sermon, in this delivery, it will be less of me and more of you. Thank you, Father, for such an amazing time of worship, where we could just put our eyes on you and experience you with us. May we continue, Lord, as we sit under your word, to be in an attitude of worship. Speak to us so that we may obey. In the name of Jesus. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. It's like this one, man. Aren't you glad you're in church and not in front of the TV? Who's glad? Yes. Far feeling fog. Take our Monday to pick it off, Vincent. No, I'm just joking, Faf. Is it a joke? Also, just quickly a recap. I had this slide up last week as well. This is what we did last year, just so that you can understand what we did. Next slide, please. Last year we had a prophetic series, Discovering the Prophetic. And just how this fits in with last year is, last year we focused a lot on how does God want to speak through me? At this moment, with hearing God's voice, we are asking the question, how does God want to speak to me? And we also want to discover His voice amongst all those other voices and noises in our heads. Amen? Everyone with me? Let's go on. Also, last week we had this up. Very important. We'll have this up every week. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obey the voice of His servant? That servant, they are speaking about Jesus there. Okay? Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. And what we said last week is this darkness that this scripture is talking about is not spiritual darkness, as in not knowing God. It is a darkness in the sense that not always understanding why certain things are happening. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen next. You've got a big decision to make and you're not sure how things are going to work out. So in one sense, you are in darkness. Everyone with me? And it's just interesting that tonight we have two songs. What was the lyrics in that first song? You are a light in the darkness. Am I right? And then at the end we had the same words. You bring hope, you bring life, you are light in the darkness, something like that. And we didn't talk, but that's awesome. God is just saying, when it feels like everything is falling apart, you're not 100% sure what's going on, He is a light in the darkness. Alright? There's a few things you can know. It doesn't matter how close you get to God, you will never upgrade to become God. Which means you will never know everything. Right? You can do what you want, you'll never know when Christ is coming back. There's like, I don't know, there must be thousands of people every year posting it on the internet. God is coming back, 22nd of May, 10 o'clock in the morning. Make sure you're on that mountain and give all your money to me in the meanwhile. Alright? Nonsense. No one can know. Alright? There's a lot of things you can't know. In life, there will also be situations where you will be caught off guard. Practically, you will be caught off guard. Spiritually, you may be ready and prepared for such a moment. Alright? But let's call those the moment of darkness. Just want to say, life is unpredictable. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. Do you know that? So in darkness, in a place of uncertainty, God is one rock that you can hold on to. This is what the scripture is talking about. That the man who has no light trusts in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. The very next scripture says, but behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with a burning torch. Talking about a situation where I don't rely specifically on God in darkness, but I make my own plans. Alright? I maybe turn away from God's advice to make my own plans. Watch out. It says, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down woman. That doesn't sound too nice. But all this prophet is saying to us is if we hold on to God, we will always have the light in the darkness, which is Jesus, all right, which is God. There's a place where I turn away from the voice of God. Okay, we're talking about hearing God's voice. It's a place where I refuse to listen and I make my own plans. It always ends in a situation that sucks. Amen? Who's been there? Alright? My plans is never as great as I think they are on paper. Okay. And we're going to discover a bit about that tonight. John 3 verse 10, we did this last week as well, just quickly going to read over it. Jesus is he's painting a picture here with words, and he says he's like a shepherd. He says the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Right? Three things important. I'll repeat them again. He speaks to his followers. Jesus speaks, number one, very clearly. It's what he says. Number two, those who hear him follow him. Because why? He's taking us somewhere. We're not just there hanging around waiting until he comes back. He's taking us into places where there's food, into places where there's safety, places where there's water. Constantly the shepherd is leading, and those who hear are following. Everyone with me? Number three, very important. There is also the voice of voices that is not of him. In this case, they're called the stranger. Okay, the Bible speaks of the father of lies. It's the devil. Okay, the accuser. Right? He hates you. You know what? You know why he hates you? Because you can be with God and you are called God's friend and God loves you and you can never be in that position ever again. So the best he can do is take you with him away from God. That's his sole purpose. Destroy any type of bond between you and God. Lies, fear, deceit, whatever he can use, okay? But Jesus promises if you love him, and if you do what you can, you get to know God through his word, and you do everything you can, there's a place where you will know the voice. Hey, this is not God. This is not God speaking to me. This is another voice. Okay, everyone with me? We're going to get into that tonight. Then quickly, we spoke about Logos and Rhema. Alright, quickly. Logos is the Bible. Can I just, someone just wave a Bible for me? That's, that is an iPad. Logos is a word of God. It is written and it is perfect and it is 100% God's word for us. Another example of Logos is Jesus. He's called the Word. Right? That is given to us as an amazing, amazing tool of truth so that we can measure our lives. That's the Logos. Apart from Logos, God speaks to us in our hearts and we call it Rhema. We've got the Rhema word. We spoke about the Rhema word last week. We said there's different ways in which there's a few examples of the Rhema word and how it comes to you. We said it can come to you through an impression. Okay, I feel something on my heart. I sense this might be God speaking to me. Maybe you sense, you see a picture of someone in your heart and you sense you need to pray for their safety. We spoke about the voice of God, okay, that still small voice. We spoke about the internal audible voice and the audible voice of God. We're going to have last week's sermon on the internet, probably by Wednesday. Some of you want to download it. And we spoke about dreams and visions. These are all ways through which God's word can come to us. If it's not a word that comes to us through the Bible, it's called a Rhema word. It means it's spoken individually to you. Okay? Very important. Why is a Rhema word so important? Because you know what? Cecil didn't exist in the biblical times. And so maybe you got a few job offers from more than one company, and one of them is Sasol. And so one day as you were praying, God spoke a rhema word to you saying, you should go and work at Sasol. All right, that's a rhema word. You're not going to find Sasol in the Bible, I don't think. Okay. Everyone with me? Right. Tonight we are moving onwards and we're saying, all these avenues of information coming to me, dreams, visions, an internal voice in my heart, an impression, how do I know from all those information I received, which is God and which not? Okay? That's where we're at tonight. You can go to the next slide, Steph. So almost all of us think this thought. If this has been a thought in your mind, somewhere in your life, quickly put up your hand. This is a thought. Is this you, God, speaking to me? Who's thought that before? Alright? Is this the devil speaking to me? I often think. Is this just me speaking? Is this an old tape? Is it something my mom complained about for the 20 years I was in the house and now it's still in my head? Is this me? Is it from my past? Is it God? And that's where we're at tonight. Let me just say this up front. This is a phrase that has caused a lot of pain in this world. This thing, and this, we are also guilty of this because I guess you could put us in the box of charismatic church. These words often come too fast. God told me. And then we go. Alright? And there's nothing wrong to be certain that God spoke to you, but it can also cause some problems. Because you know what? Sometimes you are wrong. Do you know that? Every single one of us, doesn't matter how long you follow the Lord, sometimes you will be wrong. It's because you're not God. And tonight we want to discover when is it God and when is it not. Right? And in some cases, even if you're certain that God has spoken to you, it's not always even the best plan to go to another person and try and convince them by saying, God told me, and we should do that, and that includes you. Okay, that can be a form of manipulation. If God is in it, God will speak to that person also. Are you with me? Now, why am I just mentioning this? I've been following the Lord for a while now, and let's say Bates comes to me and say, oh, God told me to do this and this, and it works out to be totally wrong, and there was a situation that was sticky, and you know what? I'm okay. I've known the Lord for a while. I know base is messed up. I go on and I follow the Lord. But the problem is, young Christians often get hurt by this. God told me to do this. When it goes wrong, we often lose people that's on their way to follow God. We leave them by the wayside. So let's be very careful as we work with this. Anyone with me? You know where I'm coming from? Awesome. No one is immune to hearing wrong, and any person that wants to can hear right. Alright? I want to give you an example. Peter, in the Bible, Jesus comes and he asks the disciples, who does men say I am? What is the word on the street? Who do people say I am? And they say, some say Elijah, some say prophet, and Jesus say, well, what do you say? And what does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does Jesus answer? Well done, Pete. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. What does that mean? Peter received word from God in his heart. It was a revelation. It did not come from man. Was he right? Yes. Was Jesus pleased? Yes. Well done. I'll build my church on that statement. Christ is the Son of God. What happens 3 minutes later? Who knows? Well, I can't say it's 3 minutes. Maybe it was a bit short or longer. Jesus says, listen guys, something terrible is going to happen. They're going to capture me. And then they're going to kill me. Put me on a cross. After 3 days, I'm going to rise. What does Peter say? Lord, that must not happen. That is a bad idea. What does Jesus say? Come on. Get behind me, Satan. Same guy. 3 minutes apart, 20 minutes apart, whatever. Same conversation. Got it right on. I heard the voice of God. Boom. Just after that, got it completely wrong. Was he concerned for Christ? Yes, he loved him. We can't allow that they kill you out of love, out of good intentions. Can come bad decisions. Very important. Good intentions can get you in big trouble. Did you know that? Please, please be wise. Okay? We're going to teach you how to be wise. Please be wise. Don't stick on a good intention. No, but I thought it would get you into a lot of trouble. Alright? Any case, not one of us is immune to hearing wrong, alright? But it's okay to make mistakes. That's what we're saying in this church, alright? There's a safe place to make mistakes. Where's that? It's your small group, okay? Make mistakes, say the wrong stuff. That's where we train one another. Let's go on. Hearing the voice of God. Now, you've gathered all this information, right? You've gathered all this situation last week, dreams, visions, the still small voice of God. 1 John 4 verse 1. After you've gathered this, all these thoughts, who of you has got a busy mind like me? You know what? My mind goes like this. There's stuff. I'm writing down stuff the whole day. I need to sift what is God and what is me, all right? Or I'm going to start to like live through the night to do everything that comes to mind. I just can't. I must realize what's from God and what's not. And so the Bible says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, okay? But test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Same thing. There's many false voices in your heads. There is false spirits speaking to you. Why? Because the devil is called the father of lies. And so his demons, his little army, most of the time what they're doing is they are helping you to believe things that are not true. So that you can make decisions that is not good for you and ruin your life. That's to sum it up. Amen? So the Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but test. Okay? Test that thing in your heart. Test that thing in your mind. Alright? Maybe someone comes to you with options. Do you want to do this or that with your life? Do you want to take this job or that job? Makes promises. Test what is from God and what not. Right? Is this fear in my heart speaking to me? Is it a lack of faith? Is this my mother? Is it the pizza I had last night? Okay, what is speaking to me at this moment? Alright? Quickly, just three things before we head into it. We're only going to do 3 points tonight. The rest we'll do next time. From hearing to obeying, number one, there's going to be three phases in your relationship as you hear from God. Number one is revelation. Something is going to come to you. Right? You're going to receive information. You're going to get something that probably you can write down and take it to someone. It's called catching information. Stuff is coming to you. Alright? It's knowledge of information that might come through a dream, vision, impression, voice, data. Now it's called revelation, but for now it's information is good enough. You receive stuff. Are you with me? Number two is interpretation. Understanding the Holy Spirit, the understanding the Holy Spirit gives you, if any. If it's from God, what does this mean? Is it from God? What does God say? Is this you, God? Okay? Taking what you received, and now you need, as you discuss with friends that you will learn tonight or bring it before God in prayer, you need to have a little trash can in your mind that you can put certain stuff in. Did you know that? You need, just say this, I need a trash can. If you cannot access the trash can in your mind, you're going to have a lot of rubbish lying around in your head. Alright? And that's not good. Because when you need to be sharp, when you need to make clear decisions, you need to work your way through the rubble and the rubbish. And God gives you the ability to clean up. Did you know that? I'm going to show you how. Then the last one is application. Okay, Lord, what do I do with this? Okay, you spoke to me, Lord. You laid something on my heart. I spoke to a friend, and there's confirmation. What do I do now? Okay? It starts sometimes vague. It starts, sometimes God takes a week to work something in your heart, and then he confirms it with a word, maybe in church, and then there's action. But it always leads you away from where you are. It always leads you further, alright? Are you ready for number one? Surprise, surprise, T1 or test one is the Word of God, the Logos. Alright? Read with me. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. If everyone comes with stuff that's not in the Bible, if you've got a thought that's not in the Bible, trash can, right? Delete. As we have said before, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Okay, he repeats himself. Number 10, check this out. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. Am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. If we could just go back one slide back, please, Steve. If we are an angel, you know what? God is so smart. Do you know how one of the biggest I think it was the Jehovah's Witnesses who believes Jesus is not really God, he's just an angel. You know how that started? Someone saw an angel on the mountain, and a few thousand people believed it and followed him until this day. Not biblical, can't see it in the Bible, it's untrue, because someone said they had an encounter with an angel. But God is so smart, he says, listen, I don't care who that person is. If he comes from the mountain, he said an angel spoke something to them, but you can't see it in the Bible. Trash can. Delete. Are you with me? That's how the biggest nonsense starts. I'm sure he met an angel. It wasn't one of God's. Alright? If anything comes, an impression, whichever way that you find it sits skew with Scripture, this doesn't fit in. Trash can. Easy, so you can clean up one section, one part of your worries, one part of your mind, you may clean up so that you can think about the other stuff that's left. Alright? Now, God never changes, but this will change. I know, 100 years ago, when did electricity come? Okay, hundreds of years ago. The Word of God was being preached, but no microphones, no speakers. A few years later, I think they've got something like that they call the triprojector. Remember the runs with a fan. You put a little paper on it and then it shines a light, right? After that, we've got PowerPoint. We've got live streaming now. I can preach in one venue and people at another place can have it on the screen at the same time, like SuperSport Live, right? Stuff changes, but has the content changed? Has the message changed? No, not one bit. So a lot of the old churches in South Africa harmed themselves by not keeping up by the world that was changing with basic stuff like music or electrical drums. Those are not the important things. Are you with me? What is important is the content of the Bible, the Logos Word. It has never changed in centuries, and it will never change. Not one word has fallen away since Genesis. It has remained the same. All right? A few hundred years ago, a man and wife would work on their marriage while riding in a voertrekker car, okay, on the dirt, wooden wagon. Now you work on your marriage while you're on a plane. Has marriage changed? Has the dynamic in marriage changed? Has God's heart for marriage changed? No, it's still the same. It's still love your wife, care for her, respect her. And still submit to your husband, love and serve him. It's still the same stuff. In one way the world changed, God stays the same. Are you with me? Okay, we need to be smart, because I think in the next 40 years most of us will still be living. Then the world will change more. Alright? And we must keep up. How do we bring God's word as the world is changing? They can change vehicles and stuff and wires. That's okay. The word must be pure. Are you with me? Talking about hearing God's voice. So people might say, when it comes to very fundamental stuff about God, stuff that will save your life or ruin it, someone will say, yeah, but that's how they did it in the old times. No. That's eternal truth. Now, if you just take marriage for an example, you hurt yourself. Okay? Some of us have been hurt. It's okay. God gives us a blank page. We come to Him. We start over. And you know what? He takes us above and beyond where He is. But let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what age you are living in. If you disobey what God says about marriage, you're going to hurt yourself. It will never, ever change. So if you get an impression on your heart that says something contrary to the word, put it in the trash can. Are you with me? I've got the example last year. Last week, tax. Who likes tax? Not me, alright? The Bible says pay your tax. Did you know that? It says it. So I said, if I get an impression or a dream that I should not declare a certain amount of money, trash can. It's not God speaking to me. So I might do it, but if there's a blessing lifting from my finances, next month my car break into my house and it's free for all, I must not say it's God. Alright? Especially if I'm knowledgeable, if I know His word. Alright? If God says there's a way to work with your finances that's going to bring a blessing, it stays the same. Okay? If some voice gives you other information than what you see in the word, don't listen. Alright? Are you with me? God says in the Bible, for example, some of us are not having a great time at Sasol, alright? Some of us are having a great time. But the Bible says, work for God and not for man. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. So let's say you get a thought. Talk about hearing God's voice or a dream. Some of you dream that you can beat up your boss, okay? That's, for example, it's not a dream from God, alright? What in else? Now let's say you think, you know what, I'm fed up, I'm going to do this and this, and it's going to expose my boss in such a way that I'm going to get him good. I know you're mad, alright? And he's not God, but the Bible says work as if you work for God. But Lord, I'm working for an idiot, you may think, okay? Yeah, maybe that's true. But God wants you to work as if you're working for Him. So that voice was not from God. Are you with me? Can you see how the rhema can line up with logos? We get that, those thoughts a lot. I had that thought last night in the rugby field for a moment. But God helped me. In a weak moment. People say this, okay? People say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's wrong. This is how it works. God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it stays the truth. Alright? So, be open to hear a rhema word. Be open to hear God speak to you. Give him the right to speak to you in your sleep, in your thoughts while you're in the car. And then ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please help me to take every one of these thoughts to God. To see which is from you and which not. Does that make sense? Number one, it's the Word of God. That's why we encourage you. This is a Bible reading church. I hope you found that out with the accountability group and stuff. We read the Bible. This is not a Bible reading pastor. Okay? It's a Bible reading church. We discover the Bible, and every one of you guys is so knowledgeable. And it puts a lot of pressure on me. Did you know that? But I love it. Okay? My greatest heart is that a whole bunch of you just surpass me. And just at one stage, I just realized I must go to another town because there's 5, 6, 7, 10 people that's preaching better than me. And then Warren, we'll pack our bags and we go because there's no more space for us here. That's a good thing. But there has been a church system that says, listen, I'm great and you suck and you just shut your mouth. No. Know the Bible. Think for yourself. Don't be stupid. Alright? Don't let someone just tell you. Now, don't be hard of heart. Don't be arrogant. But think for yourself. Know the word. Alright? Get into an accountability group. If you don't know what that is, ask it for the table. I just want to explain to you. Someone will help you to start reading the word and stuff like that. Awesome. Everyone with me? The word of God. We're also starting Bible school later this year. I'm very excited about that. T2. This is an interesting one. This is a question you ask on an impression, on a word you receive in your heart, and this maybe something that you feel, maybe God is really talking to you here, and you ask, you see, it's not specifically against Scripture, okay? You can't see it being a sin. And so the next thing you ask is, will this make me more like Jesus? Alright? Now please, as I give these tests, if it's God speaking, okay, you will have a positive test on all these. You can't say, I choose one of three, I skip two. Or now, I've skipped number one, but I've got 80%, man. That's cool. No, you need to get a yes on every one of these, alright? Then you can say, you know what, God's going to do. Will this make me more like Jesus? Now, the whole Bible is actually about Jesus pointing to his coming, and the whole New Testament is full of it, but let me just sum it up. This is basically Jesus on earth. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes you more like Christ. Jesus looked like this, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know what? I normally don't like these lists because it's so overwhelming that I actually don't get it. There should be a sermon on each one of those. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. That's Jesus right there. Now, people are very quick to tell you about their gifts of the Spirit. This is how gifted I am. This is what I can do for you. I can preach a storm. I can lead worship. You know what? That's great. But just hang around. Just help us pack the chairs. Just help us with kiddies' church. Can we get to know your fruit? What's in your life? What's in your marriage? Yes, you are gifted. Has God been doing work in your life? Are you with me? Okay, and so God wants to do that work with all of us. Now, so you might say, okay, I'm hearing God saying something to me, and maybe you think to yourself, but this situation is just too difficult for me. This is really a difficult situation. You want to choose one of those? God is leading you into a difficult, not ideal situation. You want to choose one that you'll grow in? If you get stuck in a kind of difficult situation that God leads you in, I'll pick up patience. Maybe self-control as well. God often leads you, not in the easiest road, but the right road. So please don't take an impression on your heart or a voice in your heart. And you think, no, you're taking the voice and then you're going to see which road is easiest. Don't do that. It's not wise. Which of the leadings you're getting is making you the most like Jesus? And it might be that that road goes over a mountain. The other one is just on a straight path. You know what? God wants to do something on the mountain with you. Once you've been over the mountain, you're a richer person. Something has happened when it comes to the fruit of God. It's not always the easiest road. Yeah, but that person is really, really difficult to work with. Okay, let's be honest. Who works with difficult people? Hands up. I work with myself. I've got my hand up as well. Okay? I'm the only one. Okay, you have to work. God says you need to work with that person. Work it out. Choose one for me, please. All five. Kindness. You know what? If I see that person, I want to smash his head or something. Yeah, God wants you to work with that person. Well, out of all the people in the whole Cecil, in the whole world, you want me to work with that person? Lord, yeah, I want you to become what I mean. I want you to do it. I want you to hold up, engage, become more like me. Be good to that person. Be kind to that person. Yes, to that person. Okay? Don't misjudge the easier road for the right road. Are you with me? Listen, why are you still on earth? Why did God not take you to the day you gave your heart to Him? Life is a test and a trial and a breeding place for transformation. God wants you to grow in this world to become more like Christ. There's no testing once you've died. We're going to rule and reign, but the battle is won. This is testing rounds. This is queer case, okay? Where God, where you're going to grow into a capacity that you're going to walk into in eternity, this world. Alright? And so there's going to be many trials in your life, and sometimes you're going to think, man, It should be easy to do that, but you know the right thing is going to be more difficult. Go for it. You can do it. You can do well. Are you with me? Will this make me more like Jesus? Next one. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We're still with test 2. Will this make me more like Jesus? Okay, this is very important. We will do a sermon on this maybe in the middle, before the middle half of the year. Did you know that as a believer, you are given authority over your thoughts and emotions? Did you know that? Okay? You are not a captive of your emotions, of your thoughts. You're not a captive of stuff that comes your way. I always make this terrible joke. I like to bash this because it's the biggest lie in the world. I know I'm married and I've got 5 children. They're awesome, but I couldn't help it. I fell in love. When love gets you, you have no choice. I fell in love. I'm sure my wife and kids will be okay one day. You know, I've got this lovely family. They'll be okay. I couldn't help it. Love took my heart away. Took me away. I fell in love. You've heard it on 7th along every second week. Jump, okay? It's nonsense. Okay? You don't fall in love. You just fall because you are not thinking. Alright? God gives you the ability to take your thoughts captive. Can I get an amen? Okay? We destroy arguments. That thing in your head. Trash can. And every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive. Which means you may be hearing a whole lot of stuff. And when you realize this is not from God, you can take it. That's what I say. Since I was a student, first month in the church, I've learned this. Lord, this thought is not from you. This is not good. And then you say, why it's not good? Because this will destroy me in this or that way. I take this thought and I cast it away from me. But Lord, the truth is. And then you fill in the gaps. You take ownership over your thoughts. Alright? Everyone with me? This is so important. So I'm going to give you 2 subsections to test number 2. Alright? So if you're making notes, you can say 2.1. Will this hurt anyone else? This leading I'm getting, this idea I'm getting, this decision I want to take, will this hurt anyone else? Look, I think it's great for me. I think I will take strides forward, and this is good for my income or for my job opportunity or for the way the public perceive me, but will this hurt anyone else? Okay. Example. So Ben, you and me, we're great friends, but something happened in our friendship. Long story, maybe an event or over a long time, and now I'm offended with Ben. You've heard me, Ben. Not really. Okay, so we can relate. So now thoughts comes to my mind, and maybe it's something like this. You know what? If I act this way, it's really gonna humiliate Ben. I'm gonna get him good with this. He will feel exactly how I feel. Who's heard that before? You come at me, I come at you twice as hard. You mess with me, I mess with you. Who's heard that before? Alright? Is that the voice of the Holy Spirit? No. Will this hurt? Yes. It will hurt this relationship. God, but he hurt me first. Doesn't matter. I want to become more like Christ. So even if he hurt me, the Holy Spirit will lead me still to love him. That's how he's going to see God's goodness. Did you know that? That's how the world gets to see Jesus. When they get from me what they don't deserve. Love instead of hate. Kindness instead of revenge. Alright? So some of you already can put a few thoughts in the trash can right now. Here's another one we say. This is difficult. We must talk about this, talk about hearing the voice of God. This is a thought that comes to your mind in the church, in the small group, something happens. And so you're not really the kind of person that will want to humiliate someone, but this is your thought. I'm just not going to talk to that person. So I'm just not going to talk to Ben, I'm just going to ignore him. And by the way, Denise is married with a Ben, so I'll just ignore her as well. I'll just carry on as nothing happened. We'll worship in church, but I'll just walk past them. Who's heard that before? A very common thought. Okay? Let them know. It's not from God. Who agrees with me? It's not from God. Why? Jesus is the ultimate relationship builder. He comes to bring me to Him. As I'm estranged from God, He brings me back to Him. He brings people together. He says, if you want to worship me in church, you go fix that thing with your brother first. So that I may delight in the worship you are bringing. He says, leave your gifts on the altar. Fix it with your brother. Scripture. So, that thought that keeps you apart from a relationship you have, is this from God? No. So stop wasting energy on it. Don't let it run in your mind when you want to sleep at night. Don't let it hurt you. Just take it and delete it and go to your brother and build a bridge. Jesus is a bridge builder, not a bridge burner. Did you know that? So those thoughts are not from Him. God will not lead me to think I'm having unkind thoughts about Ben. Okay? Now, just everything I just said, leave it here. Just a little box outside the door. This is not what I'm talking about. If a crime has been committed against you, if someone has violated you in any way, your family, there's ways to handle that. I'm not talking about those relationships here. Are you with me? That is a place where contact needs to be broken, forgiveness needs to be said, and that person must be kept away from you. Are you with me? I'm not talking about this here. Alright. There was a situation, actually in the Shofar Church in Stellings, where there was a guy that was stalking one of the ladies in church. And that girl was actually a friend of mine, and my wife. And so this guy would constantly walk behind her and park his car outside her house. She was afraid, okay, you can think of it. And so she went to the police and they said this guy must leave her alone. He still didn't listen. And so he would follow her to church. Now, a person like that, for me, I'm concerned for the safety of all the ladies in church. So he comes through that door, we help him out. Okay, we give him sweets. Alright? That's just how it works. The shepherd looks after the sheep. Are you with me? I'm not talking to this when I'm talking about this relationship bridge building. I'm talking about God working amongst us. Right? There is a place where discipline is given to a person. And so what happened is the head boss of Stellies went on stage and said, this guy, picture on the screen, watch out for him. If you see him, make sure you're not alone. Don't go to your car, come back into the building, get someone to walk into your car. This guy's a menace. Watch out. Done. Exposed. That was not unloving, that was loving towards every girl and respectful, every girl that was in the building. Are you with me? Different story. Alright. But God is a bridge builder when it comes to our relationship in church. Second thing is this serving God or me? And I'm talking about this is making me more like Jesus. So actually, I think we have 3 points, but you could add two. This is a sub-point, but it helps you thinking about will this make me more like Jesus? Is this serving God or me? Watch out for selfish ambition. Why? Let me help you here, and I hope I can save you some pain, and I hope that every time I preach this that I will help myself as well. The enemy loves to motivate you sometimes. Okay? He loves to motivate you sometimes out of fear and sometimes out of envy. Okay? It can be for fear of your appearance, okay? So he comes and says, you're not beautiful. There's nothing wrong with you, right? Made by God, said it. Or maybe you are envious of another person, so you start to get thoughts and you start to align your life around how you look, what you wear, what you are. If they see me with this, they will think much of me. Alright? Be very aware of that. There's nothing wrong with making yourself pretty and beautiful. Guys, there's nothing wrong with being resentful. But listen to what I'm saying. If the enemy can start help you to dig a hole for yourself in this, he will do this with you. He will take your focus off God and turn it onto yourself. And it's such a difficult treadmill to stay on. You are never pretty enough. Your hair is never just good enough for you to walk out and smile and enjoy the day. It's so difficult because he's got you on a treadmill. Am I good enough? You are. For God, you are good enough. Don't let the enemy start to minister to you in ways that will hurt you. It will catch up with you one day. It will hurt you or your family in whichever way. Is this serving God or is this serving me? God doesn't give us self-serving thoughts because we come up with enough of them ourselves. Alright? That's just the truth. Now, what will God speak to us in this circumstance? God will talk to you a lot about other people. You will fill your mind about loving thoughts about others. You will pray for other people and you will come to intercession and pray for them. They don't even know that you are actually serving them in prayer. And maybe, you know what, I still don't know who it was, but last year, someone in our church took a step of faith, someone heard of it, and the next day there was a dishwashing machine down at the home. That's a God thought right there. Someone in the church got a thought from God, bless someone with this. Is it self-serving? No. It's self-sacrifice. It costs you some money to bless someone else. Now, we don't get a lot of those, alright? But they are often God speaking to us, alright? And as you start to engage and allow those thoughts, those impressions, and obey them, you don't know what happens in your life, but suddenly your joy goes up. Do you know what? Because the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Stuff changes. You don't know why. You can't put your finger on it. You know what? You're walking in obedience. That's right. That's what changed in your life. So we need to turn slowly away from this. This is serving me. Lord, help me to serve others. Alright? Suddenly you see your joy growing. Suddenly, when someone else lift their hand in church to accept Christ, first time, air punch right there. Something has shifted in your life away from yourself. And that is awesome. What's happening, guys? His voice is leading you to be more like Jesus. Less of me and more of him. And you know what? You're actually a richer person. It's true. Actually a richer person. And that's all we want to be. We want to be rich as a person. And you know what I'm talking about? We want to have a quality of life that changes this world. Okay? Will it hurt anyone else? It's a serving God. Save yourself some pain and work through this. Number three maybe ties it together. If you've got questions, if there's certain stuff in your life that you're worried about and you're not sure, number three brings it together. This is where it stops. Solomon, okay, he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. He's quoted as the smartest man that ever lived. I don't know how many times he says in his writings, in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, he says, go and seek counsel. The smartest man in the world says, go and talk to people. Get around the table with someone that loves you and someone that knows something. Go talk to them. It will make you a wise person. Alright? Where there is no guidance, the people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, there was only four counselors in this church because there was only four people. Alright? There's many counselors now. There's many places to get advice, to hear, to bounce your heart. Is this a good thing? Is this a God thing or is this a bad thing? Please help me. Without counsel, plans fail. Now listen, I don't want to be hard on you. I love you. I want you to succeed. Do you want to know why your plans always fail? There it is. Without counsel, plans fail. It's scripture, it's true, it will stay the truth. But with many advisors, they succeed. There was a young man last year, phoned me and a few other guys in the church, sat us around the table and said, please speak into my life. I give you guys permission to help me. I've got so much respect for that man. That's how you do it. There's a couple in church that also sat around the table with me, and I think life-changing decisions was made that will bless them forever. Get around the table with people who love you and love the Lord. Now, if you're married, don't go and ask marriage advice from a single person, right? That's just stupid, okay? Get someone that's married and whose marriage bears some fruit, okay? That just comes to that. Sorry, I just had to say that, alright? Check this out, Ephesians 3 verse 10. This is the last point, so don't leave me here. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers, the authorities, that's all the spirits, the demons, the angels, and the heavenly places. Through the church, the magnitude of God's knowledge is being revealed to the world and even to the unseen spirits. Now, I pray that you get this. You will save yourself and your family a lot of pain, a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of tears, a lot of regret, if you are humble enough to allow other people to speak into your life. This is probably, of tonight, the thing that changed my life the most. From a young man, I was taught and inspired to go and sit there on the table with someone that can speak with me and be honest with me. If you get this, you will do well. And I pray that you do. God speaks to us, and then He also speaks to those around us. And that confirmation is so important. It's because He loves us. He helps us by also speaking to our friends. And so, this is actually a warning sign. Well, let me say this. There's three reasons, okay, that probably keeps people from walking in wise counsel. Okay? Number one is you're new to the faith, or at the moment you're not a believer and you just didn't know this. Okay? You just didn't know that God uses people to help people. Okay? It's a massive godly thing that God has given to us to bless us. It's a principle and it's powerful. But you did not know it, number one. Number two, the reason why you probably neglect this is you're too proud. Too prideful. You maybe think in your heart, it's not like you know you're going to make a wrong decision, but you just think, you know what, I know what I'm doing. Okay? It's none of your business. That attitude is not going to bring you far in faith in this life. I just want to help you. Submit yourself. Be humble. Go to someone and say, speak to me. Speak into my life. I'm not sure. Should I do A or B? I feel maybe a bit stronger towards this situation than that. But what do you guys think? Okay? Number three. And this, I'm bad with this. Okay? I've sinned a lot with this. A lot of you will agree with me. You won't put your hand up if you agree with my heart. Is you actually know that you are on your way to make a bad decision, but you want it, and so you don't tell them. Okay? You quickly do it and get over with, because if you tell someone, you know they are going to say, Bates, that's a bad decision. For you, it's bad. For Jenna, it's bad. And for the baby, now and after 30 years, bad, you know I'm going to say this, bad decision, don't do it. And so you do it without telling anyone. Who knows what I'm talking about? Let's be honest. Very honest. Awesome. Okay? Listen. I look over the people in front of me. We are all very young. Don't be stupid. Be wise. He loves you so much. Okay? So you hear hearing something from God. Number one, how does this sit with the Word? There's 50% of the noise in my head dealt with. Praise the Lord, there's space to think in my head. There's space to think. Number two, does this make me more like Jesus? Another 50% of that gone. So now, yes, now I can really think, I can breathe, I can be joyful. My mind is not in good grass. You've helped me, Lord. Number three, go speak to those who love you. And then the voice of God suddenly becomes clearer. I agree with that. I think that's a good idea. Phone someone, say, I'm thinking about this. Please pray with me. Can we meet tomorrow for coffee? You know what? I prayed as well. I also agree. If you're unsure, make sure with your small group leader. Alright? You know how awesome it is when God speaks and your friends agree. You can just go. That's amazing. He speaks to us and then he helps us. And just the next slide, just a statement. If you want to make certain this is God speaking, submit it to a few friends and love. Easy as that. Guys, I'm thinking this. What do you think? Okay, this is what I mean. What do you think? What do you think? Where's the best place to do that? Small group. A part of a small group. You know what? You know how great it is. Sometimes our parents are not our best counselors. Okay, some of you have experienced that. Even though they love you so much, they're too involved. Someone sometimes. Okay, let me tell you. Let me put it this way. When you start a trust, okay, financial trust in this country, they want you to appoint one person that is called, what is unafhankelijk?
Independent
trustee. That person is not allowed to get a cent from your trust. They're not related to you. They completely stand on the sidelines. They're the best advisors. They're not emotionally involved. And so when we come together, even though we're involved in a sense that we follow Christ, you're not my brother, you're not my mother, you just want the best for me. If I come to you for financial counseling, but this is a good decision, you just give me advice. You're never going to get something from my, you know, yes, my afternoon. Okay, that's Caleb. Alright? So he's just giving me his best. And that's why a small group is such a powerful place to do this. Someone on the outside looking in, loving you, just giving you great guidance. Amen? And so this is what we did tonight. This is God. This is what it says in his word. Does it make me more like Jesus? And does my church family confirm what I feel to my heart. Okay? And next time we're going to carry on. We're going to fill it up. We're going to have 6 points. Alright? I hope this helps. I hope you can now go back home and say, listen, I need to make a meeting with two guys, get them around the table, and put my heart on the table. You know what? It doesn't work to go halfway. It doesn't work to hesitate. So if you want to go flat out, make 100% sure. Make 100% sure. Hak af your mind. Go. Alright? Go flat out. So get all the certainty you need. And then smile and give it your best. Because let me tell you what, he's speaking to you. Because he's so kind and he loves you so much. Let's stand up, everyone. Let's finish it. Can we get that last scripture on there, please, Steve? Now, as we're talking about these things, some of you, you may sit here and you think, you know what? Everything he says, I've neglected everything God has given me, and I've messed up. Okay? I want to tell you this. That's the condition in which we come to Christ. Deal with it. But God makes all things new. That's why we come to Him. We don't come to Him because we are perfect. We come to Him in a mess. And then He works with us. He's the kindest person there is. And so this scripture says, and He who was seated on the throne, that's God, He says, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I make all things new. Isn't that amazing? I needed that in my life and I still need it. That's just amazing. I don't care what you did, where you walked, where you ended up, because you did nothing. Some of you, you feel regret right now. If it takes you to the throne of God, and if it helps you closer, you can leave that regret there. But let me tell you what, it makes all things new. You say, oh, but man, I messed up in a different way than what you think. This is my son. It doesn't matter. He takes our ashes and he makes it beautiful. That's what the Bible says. Alright? So you may have hope tonight if you come to me. Alright? Isn't that amazing? Can we just close our eyes? Because I believe God just wants to take regret away. Tonight, you just want to polish a few words.